Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for May 24th, 2016. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Zeynep Madak Erdogan, Benita Katzenellenbogen, and John Katzenellenbogen about designer estrogens that have the therapeutic benefits of natural estrogens, but with less cancer risk. In addition to regulating the reproductive system, estrogens are also important regulators of metabolism, the vasculature, and other tissues like skin and bone. As women enter menopause, their production of estrogen decreases, causing many physiological effects, such as changes in metabolism, reduced bone density, and a reduced ability to repair damaged blood vessels. Hormone replacement therapy can alleviate many of these symptoms, but it increases the risk of developing breast and uterine cancers. In a new study published this week in Science Signaling, a group led by Benita and John Katzenellenbogen reports that they've engineered synthetic forms of estrogen that can confer the beneficial effects of hormone replacement therapy, but without the increased cancer risk. Benita and John Katzenellenbogen and Zeynep Madak Erdogan spoke to me from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Benita, John, and Zeynep, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Good to be able to speak with you.
Hi. Good to be here.
Benita, estrogens don't control just female reproduction and secondary sex characteristics. They also regulate a lot of other physiological processes. What are some of those?
They have metabolic benefit, acting in liver, adipose, and muscle tissues where they have beneficial effects. Estrogens work on the vasculature and have cardiovascular benefit, improving blood vessel function and repair if they're injured. They also work to improve bone strength and density and quality so that estrogens are considered to have an anti-osteoporosis beneficial effect. Estrogens also work in brain, where they can repair tissue and vessels after a stroke, for example, or other brain injuries, and they're also thought to have benefits in terms of cognitive function. Estrogens are the best agents to reduce hot flashes in menopausal women and to prevent atrophy of vaginal epithelium. So those are some of the many different tissues and benefits that estrogens have.
During menopause, the production of estrogen decreases. What are some of the physiological effects of this reduction in estrogen? Zeynep?
The physiological effects of the menopause can be short-term or long-term. The short-term effects include hot flashes, difficulty to sleep, and vaginal dryness. And these symptoms that appear at the earlier stages of menopause decrease quality of life for women quite considerably. In fact, relief from these symptoms is the main reason why women start using hormone replacement therapy. Also, with the onset of menopause, overall metabolic rate decreases, leading to increase in body weight and change in body form. The body shape changes from what we call a pear shape to apple shape, in which fat deposition occurs mostly at the abdominal region, making these women more susceptible to cardiovascular disease and diabetes. Long-term effects of menopause include osteoporosis due to a gradual decrease in bone density, and this leads to a weakening of the bones and also increased risk for fractures and other injuries. And the final effect of the menopause is an increase in the coronary artery disease risk that would lead to heart attacks, strokes, or other heart-related problems, which are number one killer for the older woman in USA.
Hormone replacement therapy can alleviate some of those symptoms that Zeynep mentioned that are associated with menopause. Hormone replacement therapy uses natural estrogens or compounds that mimic natural estrogens to reduce some of those symptoms. But these also increase the risk for developing breast and uterine cancers. How great is that increased risk? Benita?
Yeah. These hormones can act to promote the growth of breast and uterine cancers. I think they're more considered promoting agents than causative agents. And I think that it's important to distinguish estrogen alone from estrogen plus progestin that's used in most hormone replacement therapies. So, for example, from the Women's Health Initiative trial, the estrogen arm alone showed that there was no increased risk for breast cancer in terms of number of cases over about 5 years. that was studied in women who were in the estrogen alone arm, and those were ones generally that had a hysterectomy, so the uterus was not present. With estrogen and progestin, there was a slight increase in breast cancer and in uterine cancer. And the average age of women in the Women's Health Initiative trial had an average age of about 62 years. The current recommendations are that women should start hormone replacement therapy early in menopause and continue only for as few years as needed. And so one of the reasons that we're excited about these pathway preferential estrogens that we call PAPEs is because we think that in the absence of what we can see in preclinical models, where we see no stimulation of mammary or uterine tissue, it suggests that we might be able to have only the beneficial effects of estrogen in terms of metabolic and vascular benefit without any possibilities for increasing risk of breast and uterine cancer. Of course, it's important to keep in mind that at this point, we've looked only in preclinical models and with human cells in culture, and that further studies are needed. But we think that these PAPEs might be able to have beneficial effects in many tissues without some of these enhanced risks.
How do these new estrogens deliver the benefits without the risks?
You've heard from the others that
John Katzenellenbogen.
There is this balance of beneficial and detrimental effects estrogens can have. And what's become apparent is that to a large extent, the beneficial effects are mediated by a signaling pathway that's distinct from the signaling pathway that contributes to the detrimental effects. So estrogens act through these two different pathways, and the compounds we've made we call pathway preferential estrogens. So the pathway that is perhaps better known and better characterized is one where the receptor works in the nucleus, and it's intimately involved in the activation of gene transcription to regulate cellular function. And largely the reproductive effects and the proliferative stimulating effects, which place breast and uterus at risk for cancer, work through this nuclear pathway. But there's another pathway that the estrogen receptor can work through, and that's one that starts outside the nucleus. And there, the receptor plays a much more transient role. It initiates a cascade involving kinases that regulate other types of cellular function that are associated generally with the beneficial effects. And so the molecules that we've engineered are ones that have good activity on the pathway using estrogen receptor outside the nucleus, but really don't work well in the pathway in which the receptor is working in the nucleus. And they do this in an unusual way that's really different, a different form of selectivity than has been studied up to now. The molecules have been designed to look like estrogen, so they form a complex with the receptor that looks like it's a fine complex, but it only lasts for a short time. The short time is long enough to actually activate the kinase cascades which originate outside the nucleus, but it's not long enough to really effectively turn on the nuclear pathway. That's why we call them pathway preferential estrogens, and the selectivity really has to do with how long they form an active complex.
Could these new synthetic estrogens be used for hormone replacement therapy?
Yes, we certainly hope that they will be ultimately after further testing. And we think that the PAPEs, these sort of designer estrogens, could be used without the need for any progestin because they don't stimulate the uterus, and progestins are typically used in women who do have a uterus so that estrogen stimulation of the uterus is suppressed by the progestin. So the PAPEs could be used by themselves for a longer period of time to provide beneficial metabolic and vascular effects rather than for just a few years at the start of menopause.
These new synthetic forms of estrogen that you've designed have been tweaked biochemically so that they don't interact with the receptor for very long. They interact for a brief period of time to stimulate these cytosolic signaling pathways, but they don't interact long enough to turn on the nuclear signaling effects of the hormone. Could these principles that you've defined here be applied to other steroid hormones to develop synthetic hormones that could elicit only a subset of the responses that the natural hormone does?
That's an interesting question that we've considered quite extensively. And certainly there are parallel extranuclear and nuclear signaling pathways that are well known for other steroid receptors. And in fact, for many of the members of the nuclear hormone superfamily, they have this extranuclear kinase cascade that's initiated by the receptor and a nuclear function, which is clearly receptor dependent. So it's very likely that similar pathway preferential ligands can be developed for these receptor systems as well. I think the expectation is that the role of the ligand receptor complex would again be transient for the extranuclear function, but require more durable, longer-term binding for the nuclear function. And, you know, even more generally, at least in principle, if there's any receptor that's connected to two signaling pathways, provided the pathways differ in terms of how long the ligand receptor complex needs to be occupied for the pathway to be activated, should be amenable to the design of these sort of dynamic ligands that achieve this selectivity based on kinetic behavior rather than conformational or binding affinity behavior.
John, Benita, and Zeynep, thanks for speaking with me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
That was Zeynep Madak Erdogan, Benita Katzenellenbogen, and John Katzenellenbogen discussing a paper published in the May 24th issue of Science Signaling by Madak Erdogan and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Thanks for listening.